Live from Cudahy's Irish Pub at the Pabst Theater in downtown Milwaukee, this is a Lake Effect special broadcast, Project Milwaukee, State of Upheaval. I'm Mitch Tyke, glad you're listening this morning, and hello to our in-studio audience here at the Pabst. It doesn't matter which side of the ideological spectrum you're on, it's pretty easy to agree that 2011 has been a momentous year in politics. It started with Scott Walker taking the oath of office as Wisconsin governor, and wraps up with the same governor embroiled in an effort by his political opponents to have him recalled from office. In between, there was the budget repair bill and the biennial budget bill, which saw Democrats in the state Senate flee the state to forestall a vote. There was the fight over collective bargaining rights for public employees. There was a Supreme Court race that could have been decided by the Supreme Court. There was voter ID and concealed carry legislation. The list goes on. In fact, it came at all of us so quickly, it's been hard to look back and make sense of it. So that's one of the goals of today's forum, but we're also going to ask our participants to look forward as well. One of the casualties from this highly charged political year has been civility in public discourse. That will not be a casualty today. While I hope everyone on the panel will feel comfortable speaking their mind, it's important that that happens when the previous person is done speaking his or her mind as well. With that said, let's briefly meet our panel today. We're joined by Hetty Eyscheid, a fifth-grade teacher at Evans Elementary School in Fond du Lac. She's also president of the Fond du Lac Education Association and has worked as a curriculum support teacher. Robin Voss represents the 63rd Assembly District in Racine County. The Republican and small business owner is also co-chair of the legislature's Joint Committee on Finance. Democrat Joe Casta-Zamarripa represents the 8th Assembly District in Milwaukee. She was elected last year and is the first Latina in the Wisconsin legislature. She's a former community outreach coordinator for Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Mary Eisbister's company, GenMet, employs 70 people at its metal fabricating facility in Mequon. She and her husband purchased the company in 1999 and have quadrupled its revenue growth. In the interest of full disclosure, she also serves on the board of WUWM. Stephanie Sue Stein has been the director of the Milwaukee County Department on Aging since 1993. In the past, she's established federally funded programs focusing on the needs of low-income older adults and has taught public policy and aging courses at UWM and Marquette. Milwaukee County Supervisor Joe Sanfilippo was elected to serve the 17th District in West Allis in 2008. He's currently chair of the Personnel Committee and serves on the Intergovernment Relations Committee and the Parks, Energy, and Environment Committee. And Malele Coggs represents Milwaukee's 6th Aldermanic District on the city's north side. She was elected in 2008 as the youngest woman to serve on the Common Council. Before her election, she was chief of staff for a Milwaukee County supervisor and has worked as a political consultant. Let's welcome all of our guests this morning. And I want to start with a question that I think will kind of set the stage for the rest of our conversation today and have each of you weigh in on it. What is your vision for the Wisconsin of the future? What should this state, or at least the area in which you work, look like in 10 years? And how does this past remarkable year affect that vision? And we'll start all the way at the end with Malele Coggs, if you will.
Thank you. I would hope that in the Wisconsin of the future, the last several months of what we've seen, whatever side of the issues that you are on or whatever party you are a member of, that it has caused citizens and residents of the state of Wisconsin to be more civically engaged, not just after elections occur and you're unhappy with the service that you've received, but beforehand. So I would hope that we see record numbers of people voting despite the voter ID bill. I would hope that we see businesses growing and prospering and employment increasing and entrepreneurship supported and small businesses maintained and growing. I would hope that we see increased diversity in all levels of government and private sector opportunities. I would hope that we see a greater level of discord and respect between people who may have differing ideologies but share a hope and a future for Wisconsin to be competitive not only in the nation but the world. Thank you.
Mary Eisbister.
Well, all I can say to that is ditto. to add one more perspective, I'm an eternal optimist, and I would like to believe that in the future we will have an education system in Wisconsin that is unparalleled, that we will be preparing our young people for the challenges of the workforce of the future, and that will make us globally competitive around not only this great nation, but around the world.
So let me gently prod you to the second part of the question was, how does the past year speak to or not speak to that vision?
I believe the education challenges that face this area, Wisconsin, and probably the country as a whole, are not new. They're not a result of recent things that have happened in this state. They are going to continue to be a challenge, and personally, I believe that as a community as a whole, no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, we share the same goal, and that is to improve education, to make sure that our young people have access to the best teachers and the best opportunities going forward. We probably will disagree on how to do that, but at the end of the day, unless we can begin to compromise and work together, we won't be moving forward.
Joe Sanfilippo.
Thank you. I think the state over the last several months has made several strides as far as fostering a more positive business climate here, which is key to restoring Wisconsin to what we used to be in the past. And we lost a lot of manufacturing jobs. We need to advance and move forward into what the next generation of jobs are going to hold, which brings us to the future. To me, I think the biggest thing, the biggest detriment that we have for our future are two things. We have to continue to get our government spending under control so that Wisconsin and the Milwaukee area is an affordable place to live and work and do your business in. But we also have to focus on education. We are letting our children down by having a poor education system where they're not, they don't have the job skills that they need to go out and perform and get a job. They're not taught the importance of showing up to work on time every day, being a reliable person, and all that's doing really is holding them back and not giving them the potential that they have. And as an employer in the community, I experienced this firsthand. That's the biggest issue we have, so we have to focus on education going forward.
Jocasta Zamaripo, what is your vision for the Wisconsin of the future, and how does this year speak or not speak to it?
Thank you, Mitch. I agree with a lot of the sentiments that our friends here on the panel have already mentioned. Of course, I want to return to prosperity for Wisconsin's middle class and working class families, available jobs, access to higher education. But I'll tell you that the reason I got involved in electoral politics has always been to increase the voter turnout in my 8th Assembly District, which routinely has the lowest voter turnout in the state, and in my Latino community. So I absolutely am committed to one day seeing the repeal of the voter ID law, and I would love to quadruple the voter turnout in my 8th Assembly District.
Hedy Eichheit.
Yes, thank you. I would like to echo the engagement, also the voter engagement. I think that we are where we are today because many of us were not paying attention, and I think this has been a wake-up call to some that we do need to be paying attention to what happens in all levels of government. I was born and raised in Wisconsin, and my hope for the future is that we return to the Wisconsin that I knew as I grew up. The Wisconsin that was progressive, the Wisconsin that was in front of issues and there for all. I am saddened to see what I believe is certain Wisconsinites being pitted against each other, and my hope is that that changes. My hope is also that we begin to invest in our education. Education is our future, and it's going to be extremely important that we increase our support of our educators in our public schools, as opposed to cut from them. So those are my thoughts as far as future of Wisconsin.
Robin Voss, what do you see as the Wisconsin of the future 5 or 10 years from now, and how do you see this year speaking to it or not?
Yeah, Wisconsin's really moved in the right direction over the course of the past 12 months. I think we should be proud of where Wisconsin has gone and the direction that we're heading in. We know that when the year began, we were in a serious economic decline. We had seen that taxes had been increased dramatically, government spending was really out of control, and we've gotten a legislature that had different priorities. We said that we were going to focus on creating private sector jobs, which is what's been happening over the course of the past year. We know that government spending was really inhibiting the growth of the private sector. So we took, and if you remember, in the first 12 weeks of the year, we focused on job creation. We passed a number of new bills that create incentives to bring jobs here to Wisconsin. We're already seeing the fruits of our labor. As we move into the next phase, I am optimistic that what we've been doing is really showcasing what Wisconsin's very best talents are. And that is, we have great workers. We now have the ability to have a reasonable business climate, which still protects the environment, protects all those things that we hold dear, but does it in a way that doesn't make it so expensive that jobs go looking other places instead of in our state. And lastly, I think that I agree with all the panelists. We should be able to have a conversation where everyone can agree to disagree in the very best way. I've never spit on anyone. I have never done all those things that happen to us inside the Capitol. So hopefully as we go into the next phase, we are not going to see people shouting and yelling, instead talking and discussing.
I'm glad public radio is a place where we can do that. Stephanie Sue Stein, what do you see as your vision for Wisconsin's future, and what does the past year mean in terms of that vision?
Well, the word that comes to mind for me is pride, and that is that I used to be proud to be a citizen of Wisconsin, where we took care of our older people, our children, that we valued education, that we valued the right of workers to collectively bargain, that we valued each other. And I think in the last year I've seen all of that eroded. And when people now say, people now don't say, oh, you're from Wisconsin. They say, oh, you're from Wisconsin. And I don't want that to happen anymore. I want people in this state to be valued, to be taken care of, and to be able to exercise their right to scream and yell if that is the only way they can get the attention of elected officials.
I want to ask a question to again, all of you. It's hard for me to believe, but we're getting kind of close to our first break here. But a theme that's kind of come out is the idea of paying attention. And I think there are some people who cast it in terms of people weren't paying attention before the last election. And then there are some that would say that we weren't paying attention a long time ago, which is why it led to all the events of the past year and the economic climate. When did people stop paying attention? Was there some point in Wisconsin when we lost track of the forest for the trees, if you will? Anyone?
Well, I guess I'm not sure that I see it as not paying attention. I think it's a divergence in how the government chose to address issues. And in the previous administration, I believe it was, you know, I always like to make analogies, and it was the annual flower version versus the perennial flower version. We were dealing with things that were immediate, and we were putting in programs and spending money in a way that felt like we were fixing the immediate problems and not planning for the long term. And what I believe has happened is we've started to change that direction, and we've started to plant perennials, which will take a while to take root, but if given the opportunity, will continue to exist over the long term. So I'm not sure it's so much a lack of focus and attention. I think it's just a different direction. And what's interesting is that it has reached a critical point, a real tipping point, I think, because there are so many really important issues that need to be resolved.
Malala Coggs, you as an elected official probably know this as well as anybody. The public kind of demands instant results. Is that part of the issue?
I think that's part of the issue. But the other part is just human nature. Oftentimes, politics is like anything else. Until it personally impacts you, your neighborhood, your family, your friends, a lot of people weren't as involved as they could have been. Until it's their mother who's the teacher who got the pink slip. Until it's their kid that's in a classroom with 20 more kids in it. Until it's their husband that had to get laid off because of decisions that were made in Madison. Then you start marching and rallying and hollering and all of that, and getting angry and involved and wanting to vote and wanting to recall and all of that. So I think that there's a basic level of involvement that has always existed, but there are ebbs and flows and spikes when it personally impacts the lives of you, your family, and people you care about.
Well, believe it or not, does anybody have a quick response? Robin Voss, 15 or 20 seconds?
I just think that this is going back to the credit of Barack Obama. In many ways, he really energized the left, and then the reaction against his policies, spending, taxes, all those kind of things, has energized the right. So I think both groups have really gotten energized in the past 3 to 4 years.
We're going to take a quick break now, allow our guests to catch their breath, and we'll have more of our Project Milwaukee Forum after a few second break here on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.